Praise God. Well, welcome everyone tonight to our service. If you turn in your Bibles this evening, we want to look at a couple of scriptures that will help you out tonight. I believe this message will bless you and help you in your walk in the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's go ahead and pray together in the name of Jesus. Father, we want to thank you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your will, your plan, your purposes in and for our lives. We thank you that nothing shall separate us from your love and that we can overcome. We thank you that your word says that we are more than conquerors through him in Romans 8:37. We are more than conquerors through you. We thank you through Jesus. We're more than enough for every trial and every situation. We thank you today. We call on the mighty Holy Spirit, our teacher, our guide, our great supplier, intercessor, our standby. We thank him that he lives inside of us and he'll rise up inside each one of us that are hearing this word. And we thank you, Lord God, every person will be a recipient of the word of God in the fashion that they hear and see. They'll be wide open tonight. And let my preaching and teaching not be with enticing words of man's wisdom, but let it be in demonstration of the Spirit and the power, that our faith will not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And we can say like Paul, Father, and we thank you that through the mighty power, with signs and wonders, we will preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Father, for the grace and the mighty anointing of the Holy Spirit to descend on each life and in this time. In Jesus' name, we thank you in advance because we're people of faith. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, turn in your Bibles with me, please. If you're with us tonight, I thank God that you're here. We're having a little difficulty with our internet at the moment, but we will get started on our teaching. Praise God. All right, let's go to Psalm 34, verse 1, and then we're going to go to James chapter 1, verse 1 and 1, 2 to 4. And what we're talking about, you know, these are troubled times. And so I began to think about this, and the Lord began to put it in my heart about troubled times. So our topic is on troubled times. And I messaged this, gave this a message. You know, you have to give your topic or there's so much about, and when we talk about troubled times, there's so much we can go to and talk about. But we want to talk about what to do in troubled times. What to do in troubled times. Psalm 34, verse 1. The psalmist is writing here, and he's writing a letter, you know, while he's having trouble. And I'll fill you in a moment, but let's go ahead and read the scripture. It says Psalm 34, 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. I will bless the Lord at all times. Every day, always, whenever I have, whenever I have any situation in my life. Not just in the good times, but in the bad times. He said, I'll bless the Lord at all times, no matter what happens. Not just one time you're going to do this during a trial, but every time, all the time, you're going to begin to give God praise. He said, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I'll read that one more time again. So he says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That's the King James Version. So God says, at least his word here says, I'll bless the Lord at all times. You know, the word bless you could look at it and from different angles. The word bless, you know, it means to give praise and shouting unto God and to accolade, to worship him. You know, in the time of trouble, we need to learn how to get our praise right. And so many times people will begin to praise God in the wrong way, and they'll begin to praise the situation. They'll talk big about the situation. They'll talk about how big the problem is. And then if God can ever help them out, they'll be so appreciative of the situation that God has got them out of. But you know, the psalmist says, I'll bless the Lord, I'll praise him, I'll magnify him, I'll give him thanks. You know, one of the words of bless means to give thanks. I'll bless the Lord, I'll give thanks at all times. That's what it talks about in there. So we need to give thanks. You know, 1 Thessalonians, over in chapter 5, it says in there that we should give, it's the will of God that we should praise him and give him thanks always, to be praising God. And so, not just in the good times. Now let's go over here in James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. I heard the Lord speak this to my heart earlier today. And he says, James here is writing to the people there, his Jewish brothers and sisters who are having a hard time during this time of revival, during this time when God was moving through them and he was getting the message of faith out, the faith that is in Jesus Christ. And he is getting, discouraged, I guess. People were getting discouraged and a lot of things were happening, not just, saying a few bad words, but people were dying and losing property and all kinds of stuff was happening. And he was writing a letter from the Spirit of God to write to each one of those people that's having trouble there. And James says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. I'm going to read that again. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Now the word there, fall, doesn't mean when you trip over something, you fall on the ground. But the word fall gives us this meaning as when you're confronted with, when you're faced with. So it says, when you're, my brethren, count it all joy. No, it's not joyful. Consider it joy. Not consider the problem a joy, but consider this is an opportunity by faith that you're going to praise God because God's going to get you out of this. And now you have to have information about God before you actually can do this because, we'll show you a little bit in the scripture here later on. It says that when you fall into diverse temptations, when you're confronted. So when is it you're going to count it joy? It says when you fall into these situations, when you come across, when you're confronted with various temptations. The word temptations in that verse of scripture is not very clear to us in the King James, but it means trials, troubles, difficulties, trials, troubles, difficulties. If you're experiencing this during this time, I know a lot of folks could be troubled, and fear is probably the biggest situation that people are facing at this time, is talk about and how do I confront my fear? Well, I'm going to show you in a few minutes. And David there, he knew what to do. So he's saying there, knowing this. Now, the word knowing this is telling us that you have to understand, you have to know something about God and what he'll do before you start to actually consider it joyful. You can't consider it joyful if you don't know what God's word says. So it's important for you to understand, to know what God will do in a situation when you're confronted with trials. It's hard to turn your emotions around and your mentality around when you don't have anything to hang on to. That's why the Word of God gives you this vision and understanding in your mind, in your heart, in this realm of spirit to begin to praise God because you know you're going to go through this situation that you're having right now, whatever trial or situation you're in. So he says, my brethren, James 1 and 2, count it all joy or consider it joyful when you come up against diverse temptations, tests and trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith, I know a lot of you are getting, your faith is being tested and you're really finding out what you believe in. You're really finding out what you need to believe in. You're really finding out what your faith is like right now. So it says in here, the trying of your faith or the trial of your faith, You have to understand that the devil, you know, he's going to test you and see what you believe. And during a test, he'll pick at you like a bird picking at another bird with a sore on the head. He'll just come and pick at you. They say, you know, chickens, I've been a farmer, but I've told some friends of mine told me they're farmers. They see one chicken pick another chicken, and they keep picking at him. And so that's not good. But the devil, he'll just pick at you and pick at you until you're all bloody and you're half dead. So it says here that your faith works patience. Now, you know, this isn't a faith exercise. This is an exercise of faith when you begin to praise God, when you're beginning to thank God and praising Him. It's a work of faith to praise God when you're in a difficult situation and learning to be grateful and thankful for different things that He, you know, what's going to happen in the future, and it's going to be good. And so it says, but let patience, or in the word patience is also the word endurance. You know, when your faith has to endure a situation, when you're exercising your faith, working your faith during this troubled time, you're getting stronger as you use your faith. The more you use your faith, the stronger it is, like any kind of muscle. And so it says, let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect or mature, entire, wanting nothing. So there's going to be time in your life, in the future, in the very near future, that whatever you're going through, you will endure to the end. Your patience will endure to the end. Your faith will take you through to the end. And that's the most exciting thing about it, is that your faith that God's given you will take you through the other end. And you'll be able to go on the other side lacking nothing. So you need to begin to thank God right now, wherever you are, and say, thank God, I'm going to the other side, and I'm going to come out, you know, squeaky clean, so to speak. So I want to read you this in the New Living Translation of James chapter 1, 2, and 4. It says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind, I don't know what your trouble is, but it says any kind. So any kind of trouble here is included in this situation. Come your way. Consider it an opportunity for great joy. Now, you know, people, like I used to read this before and said, no, how could I praise God for my troubles? How could I thank God? Oh, Lord, thank you for the trouble you know, that I'm having. I want to praise you for the sickness I got, and all the trials I got, all the lack of money, and all the problems I have. No, he's not talking about that. We're not praising God for the trouble. We're praising God during the trial, when you're having the trouble, about what's going to happen, what he's about to do. And so God is not a sadistic person to tell you to praise him for trials, and that he enjoys you having trouble and crying and hurting. No, he wants you to praise him, knowing that sooner or later, you're going to get to the end. I want to show you something here. We'll come back to this verse of Scripture. Let's go to 1 John, 1 John chapter 5, and let's go to verse 4. I'm reading the King James Version. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. I'm just going to add some little extra things in here for you. 1 John chapter 5, and verse 4, if you're there today, thank you for if you just joined us, we're talking about troubled times and what to do when you're experiencing a time of trouble. What to do in times of trouble. That's what we're talking about. That's our message tonight. So what do you have to do? So here in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, we just talked about James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4, that when you come up against any trial and every trouble, that you're going to praise God. Not for the trial, not for the trouble that you're experiencing in your body or in your mind or in your finances or in your home. You're not praising God for those things, but you're praising God for what He's about to do and what the Word of God is going to do through your life. You have to consider the time to praise Him. So that's what you're doing. So let's go over here. He's talking about that your faith That your trial of your faith worketh patience. So we're talking about right now, the point is, your faith is being tested. And you're finding out what condition your faith is in. Is it small? Is it big? Is it medium? Do you have no faith? You have more doubts than faith? What do you got? And so we're going to talk about this another season, talk about the kinds of faith people possess. And everybody has faith to overcome every trial because God tells us so. So it says that 1 John 5, verse 4, for whatsoever or whosoever is born of God, if, in other words, if you're born again, let's talk about you, overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. He's saying here in verse 4 is that your faith will cause you to be an overcomer and become victorious in life because you have faith inside of you that you're able to believe God, even through the trial. Verse 5 says, who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth Jesus is the Son of God. So God puts you in this world not without any kind of ability to go through this life and make it and become victorious. God made you a victorious person. You know, you have to understand that right now. Let's go over here. Let's go to verse 14 and 15 of the same chapter, and we're going to talk about here. This is the confidence that we have in him. Verse 14. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Now people say, so what? How do I know his will? And how do I find his will? Well, the will is the word of God. In other words, the Bible is the will of God. It's called the Testament, New Testament. And the Bible says, the word of God is the will of God. If you want to know the will of God, check out the Word of God and find out what it says. So if we ask anything according to his will, so you ask God, you know, according to his will. What is his will for you to be overcome by trials and be defeated? Is it his will that you suffer loss at this time and just never be able to recover again? I don't believe so. I believe that God has given you the ability right now to overcome and go through every trial that's, you know, been handed out by the enemy or the situation that we're facing right now. So, you know, you need to understand that God didn't send this COVID-19. God didn't send these epidemics. You know, the Bible says in John 10:10, the devil comes for to kill, to steal and destroy. Jesus said, but I have come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. Have it till it overflows. Have the kind of life that just overflows with the goodness of God. But the devil comes to steal and kill and destroy. And all those people out there that are having all these troubles, you know, the devil's behind it. He's the one that's causing it. And so no one should blame God for it, because the Bible says in James later on, it says that God does not send evil on anybody. That's not God. You know, so we need to understand that. So verse 15 says, John chapter 5, verse 15, and if we know that he hears us, you know, we have to know that he hears us. How do we know that? Because he said, I'll hear you when you pray. You have to read the Bible where it says God will hear you. Say, for instance, you would take this scripture. First Peter 3 and verse 12. It says, the Bible says that God's eyes are running out through the whole world, and he's seeking, his ears are open unto their prayers. You know, right now, God is, his eyes is on you. The Bible says the word of God's eyes are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. So right this second, God's eyes on you. And he's seeing that situation, and he didn't send it. But if you begin to get your eyes on the Lord, begin to start praising God because the will of God says he's made me victorious, and start praising God because you are victorious and that he's going to get you through the trial. No, you know, we'll look at this again another time maybe, but Psalm 34:19 says, many are the Many are the afflictions of the righteous. And we always joke about this, but the Lord delivers them out of half of them. No, He delivers us out of all of them. Psalm 34:19. Many are the afflictions or the trials and tests. Now, you're not going to go through this life, you know, as our founder at Rhema Bible Training College says, you're not going to go through a life on flower of beds of ease. You know, your test will be in this life, and you will have a faith test sooner or later, because James chapter 1 verse 2 says, when you come up against various trials, when you come up against, it's not if, but it's when you come up against it. You will face trials. We will all face trials. And no matter if you're a Christian, you're a dedicated Christian, you're born again, you love God, you gave God all, give God all your resources, and you're in with God, and you're good, and everything's right, and you are not, you know, excluded from trials, from troubles. You will have troubles. Jesus said in John 16:33, that we will all have troubles. We will all have an opportunity to face situations that will try to steal our faith, take away our joy. But not you, praise God. You're a woman and a man of faith, a child of God. Then you're not going to allow that to happen in your life, because you know the will of God and you know the word of God. Now he says there, that if we, verse 15 again, John chapter 5, verse 15, and if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, that is, whatever we ask in accordance to the will of God or the Bible or the scripture, if we ask according to scripture, if we ask according to what the Bible says, you know, when we're in Bible school and Rhema Bible Training College, you know, Dr. Hagan used to tell us in our some of our classes that we had with him, or even in winter Bible seminar, or when we have a camp meeting, he'd always tell us to point at him, point at your heart, and talk about the Bible. He said the Bible is God, and you point at yourself, and he tells us point at yourself. The Bible is God speaking to me. That's what he tells us. Tell yourself that right now. The Bible is God speaking to me. Now go ahead and say it again. The Bible is God speaking to me. Now you might think this is a little silly, but this is a powerful exercise. It'll help you in a time of trouble. And then he says, turn to your neighbor, and you point to your neighbor and says, the Bible, tell your neighbor this, and look at him or her. Say, the Bible is God speaking to you. Hallelujah. That's a good exercise. Just to remind your neighbor right now in your home, tell your neighbor, say, the Bible is God speaking to you or to me. Point at yourself. Say, the Bible is God speaking to me. And so thank God for that. So, and whatsoever we ask, verse 15, we carry on. We know, that's very positive. You know, you have to know this. We know that we have the petitions that we have desired of Him or asked of Him. That's the prayer of faith. You got to praise God according to the Word of God, according to your knowledge of what you know about what He's done, what He's going to do. You have to praise God, receive it by faith. You know, the word receive by faith, or to believe with your heart, you know, the word in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 says, if thou shalt confess the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, verse 10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, or is made right with God, with the heart. Well, what are you talking about? With the heart man believes the righteousness. With the heart man believes that the righteous, and with his confession, with his mouth, he's made, salvation is made unto God. Or I forget what the exact scripture was, but our words. Not only should we believe it in our hearts, but we should confess it or begin to pray it out or say it with our mouths. That's what you have to do. That's the prayer of faith. That's the first thing you did when you came into this world of the kingdom of God. when you got born again, you begin to believe in your heart. In other words, believing, the term believing with the heart means that you're believing without natural evidence, that you're believing with Bible evidence. Believing with the heart means believing without natural evidence, or believing without natural sense evidence, but believing with Bible evidence or spiritual information or knowledge from the Word of God. So believing with the heart means you're believing with independent of your natural senses. That's what believing with the heart means. You're believing from the inside. You're not believing with the outside. You're not believing with your sight or your whatever you have there. So anyways, let's carry on our conversation, and let's go back to, let's see, we talked about James chapter 1 and 2. It says there, dear brothers and sisters, James chapter 1, verse 2, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Like I said, you're not praising God for the trial you're experiencing. You're praising God, thanking God for the opportunity that will present itself for a wonderful experience of answered prayer, a wonderful experience of great victory. So you're praising God before it happens. I want you to get that straight. Look, I want you to go for a scripture. We're kind of deviating on the message here a little bit of what we're saying, but we're following the Holy Ghost. I believe the Spirit of God is leading us right on prophetically right now. If you go to First Thessalonians chapter 5, and let's go and look at something here. I believe it's at the end of the verse here. Verse 16, 1 Thessalonians 5, and verse 16 says, it's only two words in verse 16, rejoice evermore. This is King James. Verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. It sounds like a lot of Bible verses, like Ephesians 16 says, pray always. You know, one kind of praying is praising. I said one kind of prayer is praising. So prayer or praying is a kind of prayer. So we're going to talk about that in another segment on Spirit Alive television. We're doing small segments, 15-minute segments on our Facebook. We're going to show you that. And if you're not connected, go to my Facebook and become a friend, and we're going to teach you all these things. Some more. So pray without ceasing. Verse 18 is where I want to go to. It says, in everything give thanks. That sounds a lot like what James said. In everything give thanks. You mean to say I'm having this trouble right now, I should give thanks? Yes, for sure. But he's not telling you to thank God for your sickness. He's telling you to praise God because you're experiencing trials and you're hurting and you're losing and you're experiencing defeat. He's not telling you to praise God because of all that. He's telling you to praise God for the answer that's about to come. In everything give thanks. Notice this, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. God says, my will for you during this time is to learn to praise me for the answer. Praise him for the answer you know. So you're going to have to do a little bit of research, and you're going to have to go to your Bible, and you're going to have to find out what God says there about you, and you're going to have to find out what God says about people experiencing trials, and go to different people and look at their lives. King David, like we're going to look at here, and Paul and James and John, different disciples and different ones in the Bible that had trials and what they did. And in a few minutes, we're going to look at Paul and Silas when they were experiencing trouble. We're going to look at that in a moment. And we see different ones that had trials. And so you're going to have to go through the Bible, do some research, and become a student of the Bible, and find out what people did when they were in diverse troubles and trials. Now, you have to be a student of the Bible to get this knowledge, and to dig in and to read and to be consistent, not just read one scripture every now and then and expect to be strong in the faith. You can't just read one little thing in the morning and expect to God carry you through all everything. No, that little scripture in the morning just gets your appetite wet for the first part of the day. And stay in the Word, stay in the presence of God, and get in. And, you know, that's how you win a victory, is to stay consistent. So I want to encourage you to go to your Bible and study what the Word of God says, find out what it says, and then you can learn how to be a praiser in the middle of a difficulty and praise Him and not go on Facebook and cry at everybody and tell people, look how much trouble I had, and please pray for me. No, you need to do your own praising, do your own prayer. You know, James talks about James, you know, in James chapter 5, later on he tells about, you know, is anybody experiencing trouble? Praise God. We'll get looked at it in the morning. He didn't say if anybody is experiencing trials, call your friend and tell him to praise God for me. No, he's telling you to do it. You praise God for yourself. And Jesus said, when you go to your prayer closet, he didn't say to bring your pastor in the prayer closet or the worship team. He said, no, you go into the prayer closet and you pray to God and you ask God, not ask everybody else. You have to do it yourself. Say, for instance, and that's found in the book of Matthew. You can find it yourself. And if you talk about different things about this, you know, Philippians 4:6, you know, Paul wrote the letter from jail. He wrote these letters to people. You know, when he's writing Philippians, he says in there, you know, if you're experiencing any kind of trouble in your life, he said, if you have any kind of worries, tell God about it. Learn to praise God about you. Learn to praise God in the midst of that situation. So let's go back to over here to in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. So I want to go back to our verse of scripture, dear brothers and sisters, James chapter 1, verse 2, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity of great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow, so let it grow. When your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And so, now we're going to get to our introduction to our service today. This is all extra. We're not going to charge anything and take another offering. We're going to give you this for free. This is free. And if you're right now, we'll give you even more. Praise God. I'm just kidding. Okay. Let's go to introduction. My introduction was this. Have you ever been in some kind of deep trial or trouble? And have you suffered such a difficult time that you felt like quitting or throwing the towel? Now, maybe... you know, some of our staff is, you know, they feel like throwing the towel right now, but they're here tonight on double shift. So sometimes we have troubles like that. We just feel like we're going to throw in the towel. You know, throwing the towel means you're quitting. If you ever watched boxing, I've been a boxing fan all my life, and I used to watch the manager or I guess the trainer or whatever, he'd throw in the towel, the white towel. That means they quit. But you're not going to quit. Because if you quit, you're going down, man. You're going down. Like, you can't quit. And if you feel like quitting, it's a feeling. You don't quit because you need to stay in with the Word of God. Feelings will pass. Now, evidently, we're not alone. You're not alone in feeling like quitting. The Bible shows that there are many examples of individuals who went through hard times and still come out on top. God will do the same for all of us if we follow Him. The things that David did when he was in trouble will show us what God will do. Here in Psalm 34, we're going to look at it a little bit more. Let's consider what David did. Now, the book of Psalms was Israel's songbook, and it contains many of David and others, writings of hard times, and reveals about the truth of what to do in the place of a hard time. Hard times come to all of us, no matter who we are. Whether we're saint or sinner, the Bible says God makes the sun to shine on the just and the unjust. So if we're in this together, all of us, no matter who you are, if you live in this world, you're going to have troubles. That's the Bible says that. Whether you're born again, believer, non-believer in Jesus, for Jesus himself said, in this world you have trials and tribulations and troubles. But he said, cheer up, for I've overcome the world. That's found in John 16:33. Cheer up. He said, when you have trouble, that's some saying like what James said. Well, Jesus said it first, and James is writing over there. He's covering the same information. Jesus said, whenever you come up to these situations, learn to cheer up. Learn to be a cheery person. Not because you have the trouble, but knowing that God says, I've overcome. He's already won it for you. So let's go over here for a few minutes. We got a few more minutes left. David, in Psalm 34, David portrays his experience here of God's goodness. And we need to understand the background in which David was in to appreciate the words of what he said. And King Saul actually wanted him dead because he feared David and was jealous of his place in the kingdom of God and in life here at that time. And so he represented a threat to his personal power and influence. So David wanted him, King Saul wanted David dead because he represented, somebody who's going to take away what he had. So he was afraid to lose something. Somebody talked about like fear. Fear is the result of losing something, losing life, losing something, a position, whatever. So people sometimes are fearful and intimidated of you because they fear they're going to lose something because you're on the seat. So in this situation, Saul was afraid. So Saul wanted him dead because he feared him. David was being persecuted unjustly by Saul and treated unfairly. And if you ever had this experience where someone treated you unjustly and have it giving you trials and troubles, and they treated you unfair, unkind, but you didn't do anything bad to create that person's aggression against you. So you might feel bad. What would our reaction be ourselves? He was definitely mistreated, as we know, and he could have been more angry about it and held resentments, but his attitude was remained in the Lord. The Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. Over in Acts chapter 13, God called him. Even though he had all these things that David did, he wasn't a perfect guy. And he made mistakes, but the Bible says that God looked at his heart and saw that he was a man after God. Like you might be a person who've made failures and caused all kinds of trouble for other people, but God is looking at your heart, and he's seeing that you want to move towards him, and go ahead and continue to move towards God. So at this time, there was about 3,000 trained soldiers after him, and they were ordered to kill him, on the site whenever they see him. Over in 1 Samuel chapter 22, we see here, at this time of this writing, and he's writing about this experience, 1 Samuel 22, verse 1, so David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. Soon his brothers and all his other relatives joined him there. Then others began coming, men who were in trouble or in debt, who were discontented, until David was captain about 400 men. This is 1 Samuel chapter 22. You have to picture this. David was being pursued by the king. That's a big, if the prime minister of Canada or a world leader, that superpower in this world was after you, and they're sending James Bond to get you, they're going to find you. No matter where you went, no matter which kind of place you went out in the bush, they will find you. They have some of the smartest dogs, the quickest helicopters, best tracking system. They'll find you if they want you to kill. And David here is being pursued by the king. He had the fastest chariots. He had the quickest men. And they were looking for him, and they're going to kill him. So he did his best to dodge this man. So he's running for his life. So he's running for his life, and he's hiding in a cave somewhere. And then all of his relatives come over. And you don't want a bunch of people gathering in front of your cave, because your enemy's going to find out where you are. All your cousins are there. All your friends are there. Your grandma's there. Everybody's there. trying to find you. They want to be with you. The Bible says that David became a leader of a bunch of losers. You know, in a time of trouble, when he needed help himself, they were people who were, the Bible says they were, what does it say here? The men who were in trouble. They had different kind of things going on in their lives. They were in debt. They were discontented or discouraged people. They were people who were, feeling depressed and discouraged. Now, when you're discouraged, you don't need anybody else to try to lift them up and bring them up into a situation. No, you need other people to lift you up when you're in trouble. But listen to David's heart. He said, I'll praise God no matter what's happening in my life. And he wrote this thing. When he wrote this Bible, or at least these words, he was talking to somebody. Let's go over here to Psalm 34. I'll go to this, Psalm 34 with you. If you go to Psalm 34 in your Bibles, I want to show you something that'll help you out right now. And we're going to get ready to close in a few minutes here. Psalm chapter 34, and read verse 1. I'm going to go to the King James Version. Psalm 34, verse 1. I'll bless the Lord at all times. And we read scriptures that related to that. I'll bless the Lord at all times. The Bible said, pray always. Ephesians 6:18, 1 Thessalonians 5:19, you know, that we need to give thanks always for all things. Verse 18, 19. I'll bless the Lord at all times. You know, he's talking about in the troubled times. When is the best time to praise God? The Bible says praise God all the time. So you need to learn how to praise God all the time. So his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Get the word in your mouth. That's how faith works. Not only in your heart, but get the word in your mouth. You can't just believe something in your heart alone and not say anything. You have to get the word out of your mouth. That's how angels go to work. When you speak the word of faith, when you speak the word of God, angels hearken unto the word of God. The Bible says in Hebrews that the angels are servants of those who inherit the kingdom of God. They work for us, the Bible says. They're not, you know, thank God for that. Now, he says, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. In other words, your soul is your feelings, your imagination, your emotions, your thoughts, your soul. That's what your soul is. Your soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The word boast means to brag about, to tell about the goodness of God, to boast in the Lord. Notice this, the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Now that's the humble there he's referring to. In the King James, it says the humble, that means, the word humble means those who are cast down in spirit and in mind, who are discouraged in their minds. And so the Bible says the humble, when you're praising, when you choose to be a praiser in all your troubled times, when you choose to put the word of God in your mouth instead of a bad testimony, saying bad things, when you choose to do that, when you choose to make your soul boast about God instead of the trouble, that's what we're talking about, what to do in time of trouble. It says, the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. In other words, when you begin to act on the word, like David said, in the time of trouble, when you begin to praise God and continually put the word of God in your mouth, begin to say the right thing when everything's going wrong. That's one of the hardest things for people to do, Christians to do, is begin to speak positive when negative is happening all around them. You can't do that unless you put the word in your heart and begin to change your mind, renew your mind with the word of God, cleanse your mind with the word of God. You will be downcast and stay down if you don't feed your spirit. So in the time of trouble, and I always tell people this, you might not think coming to Wednesday night service is a good idea and everything's going right for you right now. And your last few years, everything's been going right. You've been going up all along. The kids are graduating from school and you got two nice cars, brand new cars paid for. The house is nice. But all of a sudden, your body starts showing different things. Your kids are having trouble, you know. And then when you're right in the midst of the trouble, then you want to go to your Bible and go to church one time or two times or maybe three times even, and you expect it to be all solved. No, you know, we have a church right now, a baby church in our city. We have a baby church everywhere. There are a bunch of babies sitting in lots of churches. I'm not going to say what church, maybe this one. There's a bunch of babies, and they want you to, spoon feed them something nice so that they'll begin to feel good. No, we got a consumerism mentality in the church. They'll come in, they'll take whatever they want and leave whenever they want to. No, this is a body of Christ. You need to come in and join up, be part of what's going on with God's army, God's kingdom, and be a part of it. And so we have right now, at this time, all over the world, we have a church of consumerism. They're just taking what they want. That's not how it is in the kingdom of God. You need to learn to praise God no matter what. You need to go to church when things are going great. When the playoffs are on and your favorite team is playing, you got to come to church and start praising God. And you need to give financially, bless the church, even when you have little, so that you'll have lots when the dry time comes. You know, my wife and I have been sowing seed, you know, personally, and we give to the ministry. And I can tell you that this church would not exist unless we had people who were tithers. If we just believed on someone who just gave whenever they felt like it, we'd not have no place to be. But it's the people who tithe during the good time and the bad times. They learn how to survive with faith, with almost nothing sometimes, and come out on top. And so we understand that too. So we take money the other day. I knew a pastor who's having trouble. We just went out and took $1,000 and blessed the pastor. Because God spoke to me. He had to speak to me for a while to do that, because, you know, I don't always know, quite frankly, because I don't want to be criticized. I want to give because I know God's leading me to give. The other day we went out to take somebody, we help a family, to bless them a little bit. And so we went out of our way, took our time, and we took the resources of the church and our own resources. Like, I wouldn't tell you to give if I don't give. I just take money out of my own pocket and put what I can in there, and give what I can give. So I wouldn't be telling you to do something I haven't done. So, you know, sometimes we get criticized for, sometimes people tells different things. You know, they don't know about our lives, so I have to laugh at people. They think sometimes, a lot of things. You know, one time I was at, I was over, I can't remember where I was, somewhere in public, and somebody saw me, and they said, "Wow, you're Ronald Fisher?" I said, "Yeah." He said, you're much smaller. I thought you're a big man and on television." Well, you know, TV makes you like a big man. But sometimes people get disappointed. I was sorry he's disappointed. I'm a small man. You know, Kenneth Copeland is a small man, but he's a big man too. Hallelujah. But, you know, small things come in big packages, they say. So all of you small people can rejoice right now. Lift your hand and say, "Thank God." And all you big guys can watch this. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, it's that time again where we need to close our service. But, you know, let's go out with the last example here. I could give you other examples. So basically, David, he said, "I'll bless the Lord at all times." In other words, you have to learn to be a praiser all the time, morning, noon, and night. Bad times, good times, nighttime, morning time, supper time, every time. You need to learn to praise God all the time. In other words, you're going to have an attitude of gratitude and begin to. The next thing you need to do is learn, number two, is learn to let the Word of God flow out of your mouth. Get the Word of God in your spirit by reading it and confessing it, and then get the Word of God out continually. Begin to say what God says about you. That's the second thing. So bless, learn. Number one, learn to bless God at all times. Learn to be a praiser. Number two, learn to continually get the Word of God out of your mouth. That's how your faith will work. That's how the word of God says that faith will work when it comes out of your mouth. I heard a man say, he says, "Never run at your giant with your mouth closed." You know, David ran at a giant with his sword in his hand. He said, "I'm going to cut your head off." Now, he's a little guy running to a giant. You need to run to your giant with your mouth open and say what the Word of God says. That is number two. Make her boast in the Lord. In other words, you need to learn to talk, brag about God as much as you can. Learn to talk good, boast about God. Learn how God is good to you. Learn to give a testimony. If no one's even saying anything, you tell somebody, you know what God did for me? Tell people what God has done for you. The Bible says, you know, the way we keep our blessings, the way we get more blessing, is to continually to tell people and what God's doing in your life right now. The third thing is, you know, it says, the humble shall hear thee of him and glad. So when you boast, when you brag about God, those people, like in David's situation, David began to say what God said, and those people around him began to hear, and he brought them up to his level. The humble begin to get uplifted. The people around you don't need you to talk about how difficult it is. They need you to talk positively and say what God has done in your life. You begin to lift them up, not only yourself. You begin to cleanse your mind as you speak. You begin to cleanse your mind. And you begin to praise God. Your spirit is lifted up. Everybody else around you is lifted up as well. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Verse 3 says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. In other words, let's do this together. Let's learn to be around praisers. Let's be around people who give thanks to God continually and begin to praise him. Hallelujah. And so verse 4 says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. You know, this is a time of times of trouble, times of fear. The Bible says the Lord will deliver you from all your fears. I want you to just go up here. We'll go out. Let's go over here to verse 19. It says that many are the afflictions of the righteous. And we used to joke about this. But the Lord delivers them out of half of them. No, he delivers us out of all our trials. And our final example about this in Acts chapter 16, and we'll close with this example. Acts chapter 16, if you go to Acts chapter 16, and we'll read this verse of Scripture. You know, Paul, it says here, Acts 16, 25 and 26. I'm reading the New Living Translation. It says, around midnight, you know, midnight, they say, is the darkest time of the night. Midnight is the darkest season, darkest hour of the day. Midnight. They say it's the witching hour. I don't know if that's true or not, if all the witches come out. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. That means in your darkest hour, in your most difficult season, I know it's going to be hard to, not easy to do this. That's why you have to get the word in you and force that word to come out of you and say it. Do the word when everything is nice because you don't know what weather is coming, what kind of spiritual weather is coming. The Bible says that Paul, at midnight, Paul and Silas, I'm glad he had a man like Paul and Silas together, two guys like that. They were praying, the Bible, singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. That's exactly like Psalm 34 says. David began to praise God, and according to 1 Samuel 22, those guys were discouraged, people who had troubles, heard him praise God, began to say how good God, I was praise the Lord all time, Psalm 34 says. And in 1 Samuel 22:1 and to verse 3, he says, the humble, those people who came to him who had all these troubles and trials, begin to hear him. See, you know, if you're a person of praise, you have a good attitude, you begin to lift people up. I encourage you today, if you're on Facebook, say something nice. Say something nice. How hard it is to praise God. And I realize over here, Paul and Silas, they were in grave danger. And in Acts 16, the Bible says they at midnight they begin to praise God. And the prisoners heard them. See, somebody else needs to hear you praise God. The prisoners need to hear you. The people who are in prison with their difficulties, people who are prisoners with fear, people who are in prison with discouragement, they'll hear you say how great God is. And you begin to lift them up. What a tremendous encouragement that is. And it says, the Bible says, There was a massive earthquake. The prison was shaken, and its foundations, the doors immediately were open, and the chains of everyone fell off. Praise God. They all fell off. I promise you in the name of Jesus that if you become a praiser in the midst of trial, what to do in the midst of the trouble. These are some things you can do. There's a lot of other things you can do, but these are some things you can start doing right now in the midst of your situation. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for all the people, all my family, all my relatives, my chums, my family members that are watching. In the name of Jesus, I pray with them, pray for them, and agree with them. In the name of Jesus, I make the prayer of faith with them. I pray with them with the prayer of agreement, and I bind whatever is coming against them, and I command all assault against them stop right now. And I pray in the name of Jesus, I loose the power of God and the angels of God to go to work on their behalf to get them the help they need in the name of Jesus. I pray that they learn to take this message and be a person of praise and learn to speak good when difficult things are happening around them and learn to see the good things even in the midst of trial because they've got the Word of God in them and that they believe in the faith that they have, that even with little faith, that they'll get over the situation. I give you praise that they'll know exactly what to do in the time of trouble. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've not been born again, if you have never been saved before, this is a time been afforded to you right now by God. You say, Jesus, I'm not a child of God. If you've never prayed this prayer before, say, Jesus, come in my heart. I'm a sinner. Save me. I'm a sinner. Come into my life. Save me. Wash me with your blood. I believe you're the Son of God. And right now, according to your word, I'm born again. If you said that prayer for the very first time, or if you said that prayer again and you've doubted your salvation, you are now saved. And if you've been away from God, you say, Lord, forgive me. I'm coming back home. And instantly, and if you change your mind about the way you're living, come to God. The blood will cleanse you. We'll see you again on Sunday. God bless you. Have a wonderful evening. And thank you for tuning in again. We love you. Appreciate you. We're praying for you. We're believing the best things that are going to happen next. God bless you. Bye-bye.